What is Christianity? Christianity is an explanation of all of reality. There's not one square inch of human existence as to which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry out, "My!"
This is Breakpoint This Week, a weekly briefing on faith, culture, worldview, and mission with Ed Stetzer of Wheaton College and John Stone Street of the Colson Center for Christian Worldview.
Well, Ed, let's go ahead and just jump right in, because this is a topic that there's no way to talk about without making angry, half the population. And of course,
here
we're talking about
the phone calls and letters, John Stone Street.
Yes. Yeah, they made out to me, I'm sure. But, you know, we talk about here on the program that Christ is Lord of every square inch, that a Christian worldview applies to all of life. And what's happened is, and it happens politically on every side and has for a long time, but I think a lot of us feel like it's intensified, that to take a position means that we take a position on an issue that's political is to buy into the whole political agenda. On that side, or to try to nuance anything means one is not a purist and one is, you know, compromising or not defending their man or something like this. Now, so the issue, of course, of the week, and this has been the talk of the week, has been this policy of the current administration, a policy that was inherited, to be clear, but a policy that is being more strictly, has been more strictly enforced.
The policy was changed, and that's key, is that the law was inherited, but the policy moving to zero tolerance enforcement is new. And that's significant because, don't miss this, President Trump changed the policy with the executive order. So all the, you know, this is inheriting, this is not so-and-so. I mean, we actually saw Trump administration officials say that they were thinking about going to family separation. John Kelly actually said that on CNN. And then they did, and then they said, no, this is something we inherited, but no, not in the same way. So can I be thankful for the executive order, which I think is an important step forward for we're family people, John. We're family people.
Let's set up the whole stage here, because this is what's happened is that immediately you step out, and if someone senses that you're going to support this policy or someone senses that you're not going to support this policy, then suddenly you're guilty, you know, of the whole thing. And part of this, it was stunning this week. I do want to get to the executive order, but the crazy on both the media coverage and I think on social media on this has gotten to a whole new fever pitch. I mean, we heard Chris Hayes from MSNBC compare Trump to Hitler.
That was crazy.
Five times.
Yeah.
We have heard statements that these kids were being locked in concentration camps, which is completely not true. And on the flip side, what we've heard is that this has been going on for years, as if, you're right, the policy didn't intensify. I don't know if I call it a change, but it definitely intensified. There was a clear no tolerance, position taken, which led directly to the separation of families. And then you also hear, well, all of them are entering illegally. If they just enter legally, this doesn't happen. Not all of them are legitimate asylum seekers. Not all of the families being separated are actually families. They're just pretending to be families. And so the exceptions thing started to come up as well. I found this fascinating because, you know, this is something that the evangelical community. You know, one of the things that's been the most controversial about this president, Ed, is the evangelical leadership that has supported him, even vocally. I mean, you know, we have talked about this on this program, you and I as well. And the evangelical community, even his closest evangelical advisors, were nearly unanimous in opposing this.
That's right. Franklin Graham, Sammy Rodriguez.
Johnny Moore. That's right. You can just kind of go down the list.
Yeah.
There was
and I think it's a key. I mean, this is a case where people of faith. I actually saw one reporter for RNS, Religion News Service, actually in a Twitter thread list all the people of faith. And you know, when you see the United, you know, the Catholic bishops with Franklin Graham, with Johnny Moore, with others, and I think ultimately this was a case where Christians, evangelical Christians, and others spoke with a prophetic voice that this was not the right approach. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the only people who spoke up. Lots of other people spoke up as well. But I was I was on a conference call with the White House on Thursday of this week, and in there talked some with faith leaders about what that looks like moving forward. And I'm encouraged that again there needs to be a legislative solution, and we get that. And I would say this needs to be a conversation about comprehensive immigration reform. Things about DACA and more, which again President Trump has been supportive of a DACA fix and more. So again, we can disagree. And my views on immigration policy look more like that of George W. Bush than do like George Soros. And I don't believe in open borders. I think that it matters that a nation has borders and decides who's a citizen and who has access, all those things. So I think Christians can disagree and debate on those things. Here's an area where I don't think we need to debate. I don't think we need to debate that it's a bad thing when children are taken away from their parents forcibly. And I recognize there are circumstances and there are situations where that has to happen, but it didn't have to happen here. And so I'm thankful for the executive order. And now I think there's a rightful call that Congress needs to now step up and take some intentional action. But I hope it's not just, again, we keep coming back to this conversation about DACA, often what are called the Dreamers. We keep coming back to this conversation about comprehensive immigration reform. We're coming up in the midterms. We can't keep kicking this down the road. There's real people, real lives, real families at stake. And we need a discerning, in the best interest of the United States, but also with care and compassion for people who are desperate and trying to access that. I think we can have both. And I think for most of our listeners, they're like, well, we don't want to have, again, the George Soros open borders. I don't know. I mean, John, unless you're surprising me, I don't think you're an open borders person. I'm not. And again, for me, again, they look like more like George W. Bush than George Soros, my policy views. But at the same time, this did not go well, and I'm glad Christian spoke up.
Well, I mean, there's a number of things here I found interesting, which is, you couldn't say that, hey, we shouldn't be separating families at the border without, the response, again, the gut reaction, because people are on a team, not on a side of a moral position so often these days. And that's something that I want to call Christians apart from. I mean, we have to stand on what is true and what is right. And we can say, listen, we need to enforce our laws as a nation. We need tighter borders. We need actually to beware of those who are actually going to deceive us at the border, pretend to be families when they're not. We should have people coming through ports of entry. I might even say we should build the wall, though I'm not completely sure on that, but okay. But that's not the same as saying, so therefore we should divide families at the border. And what I've been saying all week is, listen, we got to walk and chew gum at the same time. In fact, I put this on Facebook this week, and it was actually eventually quoted on CBS News because I put a version of it on the radio as well. But I said, look, I can say simultaneously that families should not be separated at the border and that the media coverage of the issue is crazy and hypocritical.
That's a good point.
I can say both that we need to tighten the border and that asylum seekers should not be considered in the same moral category as thieves and murderers. I mean, that was one of the things, right? As soon as you say we shouldn't separate family, all criminals are, separated from their families. Well, no, not everyone who breaks the law is separated from the family. Someone who's convicted and sent to prison is separated from the family, which is, again, a completely different situation. I can say that at the same time that many, though not all, critics of the policy are more interested in attacking Trump than doing the right thing. And at the same time say that many, though not all, defenders of the policy are more interested in defending Trump than doing the right thing. I can say that Sessions' use of scripture was really bad and was terrible proof texting, while at the same time saying that CNN and NPR's sudden interest in scripture not only is also bad proof texting, but is also oddly timed. Parents shouldn't break the law with their children, okay? But we shouldn't punish children for parents breaking the law. I mean, listen, these are things that we can both say. And Christians, we're going to have to say both. And it's okay to say both. And you know what? It was amazing, the pushback that some – and now listen, I heard it from both ways. The terrible article in the Washington Post. And this is the sort of thing I think we also need to speak out against, that why white evangelicals aren't protesting this policy. That was just flat out not true.
That
the
was
white
bizarre.
Evangelical leadership was.
That we're, I
yeah,
mean,
they were,
and they
we're
speaking
talking about out against
all,
it.
On all different fronts of – and I think that to me, when I looked at how this played out, one of the things I think you're hitting on it so importantly is about sides, right? So a lot
That's
of
right.
white evangelicals would be on the side of President Trump. But – Many of them haven't lost their ability to speak prophetically to the administration. Some have, but many haven't. And so they actually spoke up. The names we mentioned earlier, they spoke up. And in doing so, when you see people from your side, to use that term, quote unquote, you see people from your side saying, no, this is, I think Franklin Graham said, horrible or terrible. And so at that point, you kind of say, okay, there's something to be seen here. But again, the falling to each side is so key. I think you're right. But at the same time, I do want to, again, be clear that I'm thankful for the executive order that actually backed away from this as well.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, I think that's one of the things we've got to be able to do. We've got to speak up for families that are being separated, and we've got to speak up for evangelical leaders who are being misrepresented because of a history of Trump. I mean, again, we are going to have to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think it's going to be true across the board more and more and more. And one of the things we talked about among our team this week, Ed, is that we are going to find, as Christians who believe that moral absolutes exist, that we need to, and that we live in a fallen world, and that these, you know, issues are complicated, and that there's real people of ill intent, and all the things that kind of factor into this, we're going to find, as Christians, that our moral positions are going to better line up with a political party than another. And I think we're seeing that now, especially on fundamental issues like life, marriage, religious liberty, the Manhattan Declaration issues, for example. When it lines up, let it be that the political position lines up with our faith, not that our faith lines up with the political position. I think we've got to realize, first and foremost, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. And that means within a political party, we might almost 90% agree with one particular one because of the priority of moral issues. And yet at some time, we're going to have to be able to say, you know, something like, I don't know, families should not be unnecessarily separated. Particularly the way that it was being done. It's just going to have to be part of a Christian witness in this particular cultural moment. And we can say that and still, quote unquote, not be brainwashed, by the left or whatever else I was accused. I was accused of some really interesting stuff this week. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I believe all of the accusations. I've made some of those accusations as well. But here's the thing. You know, if your values line up completely with a political party, your values have lined up with constructs of man, and that doesn't mean they've lined up with the teachings of the Word of God. And ultimately, we can speak out. And I think you lose your prophetic witness when you can never say, I disagree with even a president, but let's say this, I disagree with the country. I mean, there are things that don't align. And if our primary loyalty is as citizens of the kingdom of God, we want to speak. I'm not saying that one party's, as good as the other. I'm not saying that it's fine to have any political belief. But what I am saying is that if we get to the place where we have become captive to a government official, a leader, or a party, ultimately, we've lost our ability to speak the truth that God has called us to speak in the midst of our broken and confused world.
Amen. Well, there's a lot more to say about this. You're listening to Breakpoint This Week. Come to breakpoint.org, even if you're really mad at us after that section. Come to breakpoint.org, and there on the homepage, you'll see resources mentioned on the radio and podcast. And we'll link it to the various pieces that we each wrote this week. We've had a couple breakpoints on this issue. We got another one just kind of fresh off the press, as well as some other pieces on this particular issue. You're listening to Breakpoint This Week with Ed Stetzer and John Stone Street. We'll be right back.
We invite you to visit Breakpoint.org. While you're at our website, be sure to browse our online Colson Center store of great books and other resources. And you can link up to our social media sites like Facebook and Twitter.
Well, we're back on Breakpoint This Week. I'm John Stone Street, along with Ed Stetzer. Ed, since we're in the spirit of just, you know, making everyone mad, let's go to the next controversial topic. I wrote this week on a story. I mean, it's a story that's a couple weeks old. I wasn't really writing on the story. I was writing on the reaction to the story. It's a group of social conservatives not social conservatives, maybe that's not the, but kind of conservatives, even kind of religious conservatives, they would, I think, self-identify as, who wrote pieces protesting in protest of a decision made by the Miss America pageant. Now, I'm not a fan of the Miss America pageant, except the bloopers. Some of the bloopers have been awesome to watch. I think it was, what was that, Miss South Carolina?
Miss South Carolina was amazing. You need to link that in the show notes just so people can enjoy Miss South Carolina's answer. That was one of the highlights.
That seriously was one of the great moments. Oh, man. In South Carolina, I was going to say, what are the great moments in TV history? And you said South Carolina history. Well, there's more grumpy notes that we're going to get from people. So,
I wasn't saying, you know, it was that she was from South Carolina. It was quite a day. So,
direct your mail, please, to Ed Stetzer.
Exactly.
So Miss America, and this was announced by Gretchen Carlson, who's the chair of the Miss America pageant, that they're scrapping the swimsuit segment. Her line is that she wants these women to be judged wholly on who they are, not on how they look. Now, there's no question whatsoever. This is part of the whole hashtag Me Too movement. It's in the wake of that. That's a movement, as you and I have talked about numerous times, that has shined a light on an awful lot of things, and yet has also, as movements do, sometimes get out of hand. And I think we're seeing signs that the hashtag MeToo movement, and it's hard to know what even that movement is. I mean, it's just kind of a cultural mood to remove any anti-woman things in our culture, and it's getting even weird to even know what that is. But all that to say, it was just bizarre to see two writers in particular from respected conservative publications, and I wrote about them, and I'm not going to say who they are. That's not important. I actually appreciate the writing of both of these individuals, not to mention both of these publications. But basically saying that the decision to remove that portion of the contest is a capitulation to, you know, leftist forces. One even said that that it was, let's see, to end the pageant's bikini era was called by one writer as an attack on creation itself by modern Gnostics, because, you know, watching women is part of our God-given natures. Now, look, you and I are not neutral on this one. You and I both have three daughters. I'm assuming you're going to come down like me. I came down and said, seriously, like, because we're so concerned with not being confused with the left, we're going to defend the objectification of women in this way. I mean, this isn't a hard one to know where to stand. You know, Christians who talk about, you know, modesty, and who talk about treating women with respect, and who talk about how sexuality is a gift from God that needs to be kept protected, and that exploitation of women is wrong, and so on and so on and so on. How would we find ourselves defending a bikini contest? This doesn't sound like a Christian position, or even a conservative position for that matter at all. It's just strange, again, how our political divides. You and I'm more conservative than you, my guess is, politically speaking, but you and I are both on the conservative spectrum, no question about it. But I tell you, what does it mean, first and foremost, to have our moral stances determined by Scripture? This is an example of how, if you are part of, you know, kind of in the political machine, it's going to be real easy to land on the wrong side of an issue.
First, I'm more conservative than you. Second, South Carolina is a wonderful state where my mother lives. And so don't you besmirch the people of South Carolina because of one gone awry answer about whether or not people have maps in America. And then third, I do agree with you. I think that... I was kind of surprised. I read those articles. I was kind of surprised because I think this would be one area where it just kind of makes sense that maybe this approach is an unnecessary approach in a beauty pageant. You can be beautiful. You can be gifted. Now, again, that's not even a pageant. It's a you know, they don't even want to call it a beauty pageant anymore. But I'm not saying that. Basically, it's bad to acknowledge that some people are attractive. I never get in that list, for the record, and you don't either. Let's just be honest. But I do think that that again, maybe this is a backlash, and maybe, in my view, an unnecessary backlash against political correctness. And what I would say is, I get it. You don't want to be able to say, you know, men are going to be men and women are going to be women, and I get people want to say that. But I'm not sure this is the cause you're looking for, having young women in a beauty contest in a bikini is we must have this. And failure to see that makes John Stone Street liberal. And or anybody who might see that, again, I don't think it requires you to be prudish. I don't think it requires you to be suppressed or oppressed or anything else. I think it might just say that maybe this is not the best way to value talented. Again, remember, I use the phrase beauty intentionally, but saying that it's often not considered that. It's considered, you know, there's talent and more. But I'm just not sure this is the best stand against political correctness that conservatives need.
No, that's right. And look, we wouldn't get into it. I mean, I have an issue with the entire whole pageant model. I mean, it just is weird to me. It's certainly, we've seen enough reality TV shows about Honey Boo Boo to, you know, realize that what it does to children and, you know, how it, you know, messes with a child's understanding of who they are and what makes them valuable. You know, kind of the parade. I said on Breakpoint, I said, you know, for the record, I don't think that Miss America will survive this change, right? In other words,
keep in mind that you know, Miss America started in 1921 as the Bathing Beauty Review, so it's certainly a shift.
How do you know this? Wait. How do you know this? How do you know this trivia fact?
Do you not have the Google? It's right. It's right on the Wikipedia page, and they can't put it on Wikipedia if it's not accurate. So it's
that's
pretty
good.
It's right there. So again, this is, and it was supposed to be judged on talent and interviews, but it was still called the Bathing Beauty Review. And so again, does that mean that maybe acknowledging that wasn't the best idea somehow puts John Stone Street on the side of the liberals? Because he is, you know, I'm more conservative than he is. Maybe that's the case. But I would just say, I think maybe it's just not the best way to honor. Again, it's a pageant. It's a scholarship competition, actually largest scholarship competition. I think all those things can be good, and yet at the same time, again, I just don't think that this is being offended that they ended the bathing suit section is just not the best way to spend the ink in publications.
No, that's right. And I, you know, look, I have been on a one-man crusade against Gnosticism in its various forms in our culture for a long time, specifically in areas of sexuality. I mean, we saw it on full display on CNN's Father's Day post. You know, on Father's Day, it was, well, actually, no, I stand corrected. It was the Friday before Father's Day, but obviously in reflection to this, the headline was, "He gave birth, he breastfed, now he wants his son to see him as a man." That was the headline of CNN. That's the sort of headline that, you know, a decade ago we would have saw on a, you know, weekly world news sort of publication, and it's on CNN, and it's as Gnostic as it comes. It's basically saying that reality is not tied to physical, the physical body at all. I've been on a one-man crusade against Gnosticism for a long time. But to crusade against the fact that the culture is, by and large, embracing ideas that separate sexuality from the physical from physical reality, separating our gender identity from physical reality, separating the distinctions between men and women from physical reality. I can agree with all that. There's another kind of walk and chew gum moment, I think, Ed. I can agree with all of those things and still say that men should not ogle women, you know, and judge them as they prance around on a stage in a bikini. Can
you
we
should,
say both
you should
of those
drop
things?
Your mic. Drop your mic at that point, and let's wrap up the show. I agree.
Drop my mic. Was that a mic drop moment? I don't.
It was a mic drop moment.
That's the kindest thing you've ever
said
to me.
The ogling. I mean, that was good. So
nah, that's good. Well, listen, thanks for joining us today on Breakpoint This Week. We've mentioned a lot of different things. And again, come to breakpoint.org. And there on the homepage, you'll see a link that says resources mentioned on the radio and podcast. Click that button, and we'll link you to some of the articles and things that we've mentioned on today's program, having both to do with the big story of the week, President Trump's decision to rescind or change through executive order the policy that heated up under under Jeff Sessions to separate children at the border. We give a Christian worldview account of that in a number of articles on Breakpoint, as well as a piece on the Miss America swimsuit competition. And we want to thank you for listening each and every week. And want to also tell you that if you miss a week, you can always catch us on the Breakpoint Podcast. The Breakpoint Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, you can find not only the weekly review of what's happening in the news with Ed Stetzer and me, you can also hear a couple other long-form programs as well as each and every Breakpoint commentary hosted by either myself or by Eric Metaxas. Again, that's the Breakpoint Podcast. And we only are able to do what we do because of the kindness and the generosity of our listeners. We are, in a very real way, a listener-supported ministry. And we're ending we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year. The end of June is the end of our fiscal year. Help us end the year strong and budget and prepare for another year of ministry. If God so leads you, you come to breakpoint.org, and you can become a Colson Center supporter. Just click on the button there on the homepage that says give.
And John, I would join with you. I'm here as a volunteer. I'm not compensated to be on this radio program. I do so because I believe the impact that it's making. And I'm so thankful for what you're doing, the Colson Center doing, the Breakpoint This Week is doing, because we're helping to shape a Christian worldview, challenging people to think. You know, even in this program, we challenge people that they might have different views, but again, we try to bring these things forward in a Christian, God-honoring, Christian worldview-focused way. And so I'm thankful to be a part of this, you know, and thank you for your invitation to be a part of this. And I encourage our listeners to become a part as well by becoming faithful donors to this ministry.
Well, this was a terrific week of conversation. We'll be back again next week to talk about what's happening in the news from a Christian worldview. For Ed Stetzer, I'm John Stone Street. Thanks for joining us on Breakpoint This Week.